Reading tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 13. And our subject is in the verse, "If there be no resurrection," that's our title tonight. If there be no resurrection. And I read verse 13. "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen." What if? It's a hypothetical, of course. It is a supposition. What if, just in case, Christ is not risen? You see, we can take that trend. We can take that line of thinking. What if? But you have to understand that the Christian message stands and falls with the resurrection of its founder. Everything stands with the resurrection of Christ. Everything. And it is interesting, this may be just informative to you. You may not appreciate it. But you study the sermons in the book of Acts. Every sermon there mentions the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no wonder the disciples, the apostles of Christ, moved the world. It was even said that they brought this world upside down, upside down. You know why? Because of the preaching of the gospel mentioning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the resurrection, very often it comes with repentance. Repentance. So maybe we need to speak more. If we need to see revival in our times, we need to speak more about the resurrection of Christ. We need to speak more about repentance. So, the resurrection of Christ, no surprise. You know this, I'm telling you things you know. The second biggest and largest religion of this world denies the resurrection of Christ. They deny his crucifixion. They deny his resurrection. You see, the two great pillars are denied by the, as I said, I call it the second biggest and greatest religion of this world. But without the resurrection of Christ, there is nothing. It's just an unsaving religion. And that is why the resurrection of Christ put to shame, it put to shame all religions. It put to shame all the prophets of unsaving religions. Do you know that? I'm sure you know. I shouldn't even ask the question. Muhammad's tomb is occupied. It is occupied. You know, he's buried exactly where he died. The spot where he died, this is exactly where they buried him. And it became a mausoleum. It became a shrine. It is a part of their pilgrimage when they go to Mecca and Medina. What? His body is still there. If, of course, it has decayed long time ago. But the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, unoccupied, unoccupied. So we are speaking, we have to understand this also. We are speaking about resurrection, not reincarnation. Those are two things very different. The Buddhist, the Hindu, and so on, they believe in reincarnation, but we believe in resurrection. And that's draw the lines between us and them. And as I told you this morning, this excites me really. I don't know if it excites you or not, doesn't matter really. But you see, Christ never attended, he has never attended a funeral. I gave you the three examples. He raised from the dead the daughter of Jairus. He raised from the dead the son of the widow. He didn't go to the cemetery. He met, this is two groups meeting, the collision of death and life, the collision, the widow and her son, plus the cottage going to the funeral. And there is Christ with his disciples. They met. And he said, young man, wake up, stand up. And he gave him back to his mother. Lazarus, Lazarus, Christ didn't attend the funeral. Why? His life giver. And as you know, when Christ died, he was put in a rich man's grave. Do you know that was a prophecy also from Isaiah 53? He was put in a grave that belongs to a rich man. He was numbered among the transgressors, but he was numbered also among the rich. It was in a garden. You know how I put it? I said to myself, each time I read that text about Joseph Arimathea, because the grave there in the garden belongs to him, Christ rented a tomb for 3 days from Joseph of Arimathea. He said to him, don't worry. In 3 days, you get back your cave. You get back your tomb. And that tomb has never been inhabited by anyone. Pure. Never. Oh, the power again of Jesus Christ, my dear friends. So Christ, and we read in Acts chapter 1 that there are many infallible proofs. Infallible, not fallible. Many, not one or two, but many. And as you know, many have tried and are still trying to put back Christ into the grave. My dear friends, we are not speaking about Nostradamus predictions. You know, the predictions of this world, guesses, mysticism, hypothesis, or maybe this way is going to happen. Everything said about the Lord Jesus Christ, you can trace the details. It happened exactly as it has been said. Do you know, just when he was at the cross of Calvary, there are at least 10 things said about him there, and they were fulfilled meticulously in Christ. Meticulously. So here in 1 Corinthians 15, my brothers and sisters, this is our teaching service. May I tell you, if somebody asks you, what are the 10 great chapters of the Bible? I'm sure without thinking, you should say 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is one of the 10 most and greatest chapters of the Bible. You take Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 3, Isaiah 53, we can list them for you. But here is one. Here is one, the greatest. So Paul combines faith and logic in his argument. So my question to you tonight, what about if there was no resurrection? And it is interesting that this is repeated for us a number of times. I show it to you, verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Look at verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. So you can see the question, the condition, hypothetical matter that is put before us. If there be no such thing as resurrection, it means, and I want to stick to the text just here. I don't want to go anywhere. And there are 7 things. I will just mention them, because each one could be a whole study. It's all here. I give you the verse as we go. But remember, if the resurrection didn't take place, this is exactly what is happening. Number one, look at it in verse 12 and 13. Verse 12 and 13. Christ is not risen if there was no resurrection. So that's number one. The decay of his body has taken place long ago. He is just like any other man. You see, if Christ is not risen from the dead, he is like you and me, just like you and me. But no, Calvary then will be a total failure. Life, death, nothing makes sense. You know, if Christ was not risen from the dead, the church is decapitated. It is a church without a head, beheaded. If Christ was not risen from the dead. But just think about it. I'm sure you don't need a preacher to put these things to you. But if Christ was not risen from the dead, no Bible. The whole New Testament will never be there. And the Old Testament just be by itself, oh, something is missing. Something is missing. We need the New Testament. And the New Testament was predicted in the Old Testament. Remember that. Already in the Old Testament, the prophets have said that one day the 27 books of the New Testament will be written. And Christ, in John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, he said to his disciples that he will live. And when he lives, he will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will remind them his teaching, and they will write his teaching. He inspired them. So there will be no Bible if Christ was not risen from the dead. There will be no comforter, because he said in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 that it is better for us that he lives. He goes back to his Father, because when he goes back to the Father, he will send another comforter to us, equal to him, not below him or inferior to him, but equal to him, of the same power, the same nature, and the same essence. And that is the Holy Spirit. But if Christ was not risen, you know, long time ago, I was telling a number of people today, believers, when they meet one another on Resurrection Sunday, they don't say to one another, "Hello, how are you?" "He is risen. Hallelujah." There will be nothing to celebrate if Christ was not risen from the dead. Oh, no Savior, no triune God, no King to worship, no heaven, no hell, if Christ was not risen from the dead. And if he is not risen from the dead, my dear friends, we are just imposters. Number two, and I really must go quickly, because there is more to come. Number two, our preaching is in vain. Look at it in verse 14. Our preaching is in vain. It is interesting. I hope you noticed it when I was reading. At least five, six times, probably, the word in vain, in vain, in vain, vanity, insignificance, futility, just the air. That's the meaning of the word vain here. So our preaching will just be words in the air, just a political speech. We are no more, no better than the politicians with all their lies. Our message will be a dead system of belief, fantasies, you know, fantasies, myths, legends, fairy tales. In vain. But what a waste, oh, what a waste. The gospel will only be a fraud. You know, we will be fraudulent people. That's how you have to look at it. And it will just be a cock and bull story. Number three. Look at it again in verse 14. Number one, it means Christ is not risen. Number two, our preaching is in vain. Number three, our faith is in vain. Look at it in verse 14 and in verse 17. In vain, in vain. Oh, my dear friends, faith in a dead Savior is really an insult. It is an insult. It is pathetic. And it is just a leap in the dark. You know what is a leap in the dark? Yeah? Just falling in the emptiness. You crash down. A hoax and a sham. Number four. Look at it in verse 15. We are false witnesses. If Christ is not risen from the dead, we are false witnesses. The apostles were false witnesses. The Uxbridge Road Tabernacle is a false witness. Disgraceful and dishonest. We have lied against God. Therefore, why worship? Why preach Christ? Why teach Sunday school? Why be a martyr? You know, all the apostles except the apostle John, they died as martyrs. They were killed. And believe me, you can study it. Nobody dies for something he knows that it is a lie. Nobody in the world. So the apostles, they died, they gave their life because they knew that what they were preaching is true. And you remember, we read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, how many witnesses there were. Paul said, above 500. So, which means it's more than 500. And when he was writing his argument in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, most of the people were still alive. So if you doubt about it, go and ask that one. Go and ask that one. Go and ask that one. It is verifiable. It is factual. They were all there. Not man-made stories sitting in a corner and fabricating things that people will believe in. Oh, if Christ was not risen, we are false witnesses. Conferences, you have been to conferences, that will be empty. Why spend? Seminaries, we spend time studying in seminaries. Getting academics, hopefully not just to fill the head. That will be in vain. Prayer meetings. What is it for if Christ is not risen from the dead? Oh, we could continue. I'm sure you know about, you read about the reformers. The reformers, it means nothing. The Puritans, oh, great men. Nowadays, our world is putting them down, but these were great men. They were spiritual men, godly men. So it means all what they suffered, you know, at least 2,000 of them were kicked out from the church here in this nation. And they became the nonconformist preachers, John Wesley and his brother Charles Wesley, and so on. The church refused to allow them to preach in churches. What did they do? They preached in the streets. So that will be in vain. Oh, it's all here. To be a false witness is a perjury, as you know. All the libraries. Just imagine, millions and millions of books have been written about the Christian faith. All that is in vain. The libraries, the books you have at home about the church and Christ, it's all in vain. And remember, in the Bible, and may I reassure you about this, my dear friends, if in the Bible one thing is found to be a lie, to be false, everything else collapses like a castle of cards, like a castle of sand by the sea. The waves hit it, it's gone. If even one mistake is found, one error in the Bible, it's all gone, empty. But I must carry on. Number five, look at it in verse 17. If Christ is not risen from the dead, you are still dead in your sins. Verse 17, unsaved, unchanged, unforgiven, unborn again, doomed, deluded, deceived, disappointed, and condemned if Christ is not risen from the dead. And you are still dominated by your own sins. My dear friends, no matter how good, no matter how holy you are, no matter how saint you are, if Christ was not risen from the dead, you are still wallowing in your sins. Number six. Look at it in verse 18. I'm sure somebody here among us, or those who are watching or listening online or later online, you have somebody from your family who was a Christian and he's gone into glory. But in verse 18, we read that our dear ones in Christ who are gone to glory, if Christ was not risen from the dead, they are lost. And lost forever. Lost forever. There is no heaven for any, because the king of terror stands with no rival. And it means no gathering, no future gathering with Christ. You know, there will be a huge gathering. We will be at the banquet. And at that banquet, there will be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Christ sitting on the throne. We will be with them, and we will recognize one another. That's beautiful. We will recognize one another in heaven. And but if Christ was not risen from the dead, all is in vain. All is in vain. All Christians who died are lost forever. And it even means that Christ made a false promise if Christ was not risen from the dead. John 14, verse 1, Christ said, believe in God and believe in me. I go and prepare a place for you. When I have prepared a place for you, I come back. I come back, he said. But he's not risen from the dead. How will he come back? So, look at number 7. Number 7, verse 19, verse 19. So number one, if there is no resurrection, Christ is not risen. Number two, our preaching is in vain. Number three, our faith is in vain. Number four, we are false witnesses. Number five, we are still in our sins, dead in our sins. Number six, our loved ones who died in Christ are lost forever. And number seven, look at it in verse 19. Paul says, we are of all men the most miserable. People to be pitied. Look at Christians. They are the most pitied and pitiful people in the world. And pitiable people, just like animals, terrestrial, transient, carnal, and temporal. That's us if Christ is not risen from the dead. And you know, it's in verse 32. Look at verse 32. If Christ is not risen from the dead, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the non-believers' philosophy, you know? It's tomorrow it will be April's Fool, yeah? You know, April is the month of the atheist, yeah? So that's what is his philosophy. Let us eat, drink, and marry. Tomorrow we die. Here, just here, living for the here and now. I want to enjoy just now. So, but there is hope. Look at verse 20. You know how that little word is called? But. The powerful conjunction. That's how but is called, the powerful word, the conjunction there of coordination. But after the blackest assumptions there, you can see it. Paul make the blackest assumptions. I listed for you 7. There are more there, but now Paul is going to give us a powerful assertion. But in verse 20, oh, the tragedy is turned into a great triumph. But now is Christ risen from the dead. This is affirmative. This is certainty. This is surety. And you can take it for granted. By his death, he brought our last enemy on his knees. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ brought death on its knees. Bow down before him. Oh, what then? Because Christ is risen, we read in Luke chapter 24, repentance and remission of sins are being preached among all nations. Because Christ is risen from the dead, the grave is empty. In Matthew chapter 28, the women, they said to the disciples, because they were with the first at the tomb, they said to the disciples, come and see, come and see. And in Luke chapter 24, the angel said to them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. Christ is no more in the tomb. He is risen from the dead. Oh, they fled, all the disciples fled in terror at his arrest. But now they are fearless. Peter, the coward Peter, who three times denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, in New Testament times, when you are a coward before a woman, a maid, that time, oh, what a shame. What a shame for Peter. But three times. You know how they recognized Peter? By his accent. When they heard his accent, oh, you are a Galilean. You were with him. Oh, and we swear heaven and earth. I don't know this man. I don't know this man. But later in Acts chapter 2, who preached the greatest sermon after the Lord Jesus Christ? It is Peter there. And 3,000 people were converted in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 5, another 5,000 were converted. The disciples were transformed. Why? Because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, powerful resurrection. Christ is not here. Now, my closing time is to give you what are the implications. What are the implications? Because Christ is risen from the dead. Oh, there are numerous applications. And again, I want quickly to give you 8 applications and to help you. Oh, this is a great event. This morning I was saying resurrection is not a light matter. Look at it. Number one, he is risen, we shall rise. That's the first implication. Christ is risen from the dead. Every Christian is going to be raised from the dead. He said, as I live, ye shall live also. That's the meaning. Look at in verse 20. He speaks about in verse 20, and become the first fruits of them that slept. The word first fruit there means he became number one of millions that will follow later. That's the meaning of first fruit there. He became the trailblazer for us, the forerunner for us. And when you read verse 22, look at verse 22. In Adam, all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. That's good news. You see, number one, the implication, his resurrection means your resurrection. You shall raise from the dead. Number two, we have a message. We have a message. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, we have a message. Why? Because Christ is risen. Hallelujah. The Bible is a living book. All your books at home are dead. All the library's books are dead, except the Bible. It is a living book, inspired by God, not a fable. Oh, we have a message of hope to preach to the whole world. You know what is the content of that message? Please, can I hold you here? There are 5 things as the content of that message. And I will show you quickly the verses. Number one, look at it in verse 3. Verse 3, Jesus is the Christ. Verse 3. Number two, the content of our message, he died for our sins and was buried. Verse 3 and 4. Number 3, he was raised from the dead, and very precise, on the third day, on the third day. It is repeated. Number 4, his death and resurrection were foretold according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures. Which scriptures? The Old Testament. I know it's going fast, but it's all there from verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. All the content of our message is condensed, telescoped for us there. And number 5, He has shown himself to many witnesses and to Paul at the last one. So, number one, he raised from the dead, we shall raise from the dead. Number two, we have a message. Number three, our faith is not in vain. It is built on the rock of ages, Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can take the reference here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And it says there that we have a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number four, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Look at the transformation. I already alluded to it. Look at the transformation of the apostles of Jesus Christ. All of them. Thomas the doubter, Peter the coward, James the skeptic. You know, you can make a whole list of them. Each one of them had an issue. But the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ transformed them. Totally transformed. The radical transformation of each one of them. Paul, you know, Paul said, I was a blasphemer. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, I was a blasphemer. I was arrogant, injurious, violent, a violent man. He said so. That was his testimony. But he said, I obtained mercy, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Number five, all our sins are forgiven for his name's sake because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All our sins, Christ was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised from the dead for our justification. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Number six, Christ is in our hearts. You know the passage, my brothers and sisters. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. In you. So he's resident and president. If he just resides and he doesn't preside your life, it means you are not a Christian. He must be resident and president. So number seven, we have victory. Look at it in verse 57. Verse 57, whatever, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. You are more than a conqueror. You are more than victorious in Christ Jesus. The last enemy, the king of terror, the grim reaper, was defeated by Jesus Christ. And it's all here. And we have hope beyond the veil. And I close with this. We have a great motivation. That's number eight. We have a great motivation. Are you motivated in your Christian life? My brothers and sisters, please look at how Paul closes this chapter. Everything he said is summed up in one verse. Look at verse 58. And this is the purpose of Christian life. If you miss and you are not doing what is said in verse 58, you have missed the purpose of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It encompasses everything and concentrates everything for the believer. I read it for you, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because Christ is risen from the dead, I could insert that there. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. The word in vain again, six times. Your work is not in vain in the Lord. In the Lord. So Christ ushered for us a new age. Darkness is passed away. The light of Jesus Christ is now shining in our hearts. So we can do his work. We can witness to other people about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the good news, my dear friends, is that one day, very soon, I believe. I want to believe deep down in my heart that very soon we shall be reunited with Jesus Christ. He will come back. And guess what? Heaven will come on earth, and this earth, new earth, will be meeting with heaven, and the two will be one. And we shall enter into eternity to be forever, forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. But because to be with Christ is far better. Oh, may the Lord bless these things in our souls this evening. Let's close.